America by the Numbers looks at the current population in the U.S. during what is the largest demographic change in history. And you visit the town of Clarkson, Georgia, which has gone from being 90% white in the 1980s to less than 14% white now. How did this happen?
Well, it's happening across the country. This is, of course, what I like to say is kind of the future of America on steroids, because what happened in Clarkson, Georgia, was that it became a refugee relocation spot. And so within a matter of, you know, about 20 years, that demographic change happened at hyper speed. What's beautiful about it, though, is that all of these, you know, 40 different countries, 60 different languages, all of them living in the span of about a mile square. The series is called America by the Numbers because we're looking at numbers through which to tell our stories. So we know that the demographic number is huge in terms of change over the last decade. We know that the highest percentage of multicultural growth actually occurred in the American South. And then within the American South, we found the place where that diversity is statistically one of the highest, and that's how we got to Clarkston, Georgia. But it sounds unique that you would have, you know, one of the most diverse places in our country being in a state like Georgia. But in fact, it's happening more and more, and again, in places that we like to call unexpected, but I don't know how much more we can call it unexpected. I think it's actually what I like to call the new mainstream and the new normal.
Now, here in Arizona, we share a border with Mexico. We have a large population of Latinos. A lot of immigrants here are from Mexico. There's also a really big population of first and second generation Mexican-Americans here. Yet, at the same time, we have lawmakers who are writing and passing laws like SB 1070, which some people say contributes to an anti-immigrant climate. And in your documentary, you show us a city that is 86% minority, but with a city council that is all white. How is it that the diversity of the general population is not quite reflected in the elected officials in the decisions that they're making?
Well, that is really the central question, isn't it? When we're talking about a true democracy, what you really want is what I called democratic multiculturalism, where everyone is at a seat at the table and everyone has a chance to express their perspective, whether it's by a vote or by being elected to office. You know, we are used to the fact that in our country, we have been governed overwhelmingly up until now by white men. It's a situation that many of us have become used to. And what we're basically saying is it's not truly representative when you have essentially the elected officials not reflecting the population that they are governing. And what we're trying to do with our journalism is simply shine a light on that and to say the answer is not to get angry and to point out the division. The answer is for people to get involved in the democratic process and to feel like they can own their own voice and own their vote and perhaps even own the possibility to be elected. And that's where the conversation gets interesting.
Speaking about politics, the presidential election is about a month from now, and Arizona has been a red state, but you mentioned in America by the Numbers that culturally diverse states like Arizona and Georgia could see a change this year. Can you tell us more about that?
If you use the jumping off point of by the numbers as the basis of, in this case, our reporting, we know what the demographics look like in a state like Georgia and a state like Arizona. They are increasingly becoming more and more Latino and of color, and more of those people will become voters. One way or another, they're going to become voters. This change is only going to continue. You can't really legislate away demographic change. You can't legislate away the fact that the Latino demographic grew over 43% in the last decade, and there is a certain reality that you can't walk away from. What's beautiful is going behind those stories of numbers and change and talking about the humanity. And that's where I feel incredibly hopeful about the possibilities of moving forward.
sometimes it seems like all minorities or all even Latino voters get pigeonholed into one category. Yet many times the immigrant population of parents and sometimes grandparents tends to be a little more conservative, and then their children who were born and raised in the U.S. are more liberal. We see a little bit of this happening with one family in your documentary. Can you share with us what you have seen and tell us more about this family?
We did find a family that's been living in the United States from Bhutan, legal refugees from Bhutan. This is their first time voting. And I think that their family is symbolic of what you'll probably see in families in Arizona, where the father comes from a traditional society in Bhutan. And he says, look, you know what? Gay marriage and abortion rights is not part of who I see myself as. And so he's thinking that he's more conservative. But his youngest son, who was raised in Clarkston, Georgia, is a hip-hop Bhutanese dude who loves Ron Paul. And his two older sisters love Obama because of his health care. And the mother is undecided. I think that this is the kind of story that you're going to see more and more from voters. Having just spent last week in Central Florida and being with Latino voters, it's the same thing. You're going to find Latino voters who identify with the president. And then I found many others who say that they are working harder than ever to get Mitt Romney elected.
What's a story from your documentary that you're really looking forward to sharing with us here in Tucson?
You know what? I have really fond memories of my time in Tucson. And I feel like the community is really interested in understanding how we move forward together and respectfully. One of my favorite stories of America by the numbers, Clarkston, Georgia, is two best friends, one white, one black. One is a Tea Party Republican, and the other one is a Somali refugee massacre survivor. And they worked together. And the Somali refugee survivor, massacre survivor becomes the campaign manager for her best friend, who is a Tea Party Republican, even though the Somali woman loves President Obama. And yet they work together, and they call themselves sisters, and they support each other. There is a beauty that happens in our country that we don't celebrate enough, which is how people do, in fact, cross borders, not necessarily physical borders, but they cross the borders of their own comfort zones. And frankly, when I think of Tucson, I think of so many people in that same place who have the best vision for our country and are working towards that, and in many ways get out of their comfort zone to find common humanity. And it's in that search of common humanity that we, as an American democracy, really do find our strength. So I'm very excited to see all of the fans that I have out there in Tucson, and really hope that they join us and share their thoughts about this really wonderful and important television documentary work.